Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Darren McBreen. Today is Thursday, April 17th, 2014. Here's a quick look at what's coming up.
Tonight, the New York SAFE Act is met with mass civil disobedience from gun owners. And original Black Panther Larry Pinkney exposes the truth about Al Sharpton.
The public is manipulated, and people like Al Sharpton, opportunists, blood-sucking opportunists, are the ones who do it.
Good people are going to crush you! Intellectually, it's begun, you can feel it!
The gun control law, known as the SAFE Act in New York, is quickly becoming a total and utter failure, as there is now massive civil disobedience opposing the law. Well, never saw that one coming. The state of New York is refusing to say just how many gun owners complied with the mandate to register their so-called assault weapons under the SAFE Act. Yeah, the SAFE Act. There's an Orwellian title for you. And there is a sheriff out there who says he will not enforce the measure, suggesting that just like a similar law in Connecticut, the gun control effort has been a total failure. As more and more Americans engage in mass civil disobedience against curbs on the Second Amendment. And good for them. Apparently, owners of the assault-style weapons had until Tuesday to register their firearms under the new law. But check this out. Firearms advocates are saying that only around 10% of gun owners have actually complied. That's awesome. And I think it should be interesting to see how officials plan on enforcing this law. I think it's going to be very, very difficult. But we'll definitely keep you posted on the progress of the so-called SAFE Act out there in New York. Meanwhile, former Mayor Bloomberg has just announced a brand new $50 million gun control campaign that is supposed to target what he calls illegal guns, as well as educate the public on just how dangerous guns are. Wait a minute. Do I hear Eric Holder?
One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Mm-hmm. And here's what Bloomberg had to say yesterday on NBC's Today Show.
This is not a battle of dollars. This is a battle for the hearts and minds of America so that we can protect our children, protect innocent people.
So the individual right to self-defense under the Second Amendment is being attacked on all fronts, and that includes more Gestapo-like behavior from the ATF, as they are actually targeting gun shops for their customer purchasing records. If you can believe that, and you may recall last month, we reported that the ATF raided a California gun parts store for its customer data. Well, now the agency is trying to force a gun owner in Maine to shut down his entire business because they had the nerve, the audacity to defy the ATF and reject their demand to hand over his customer records. They actually wanted to scan every single page of the Pack and Arms customer database located in Samford, Maine. And don't think for a moment that the ATF just walks into these gun shops and approaches these gun owners all polite-like. Hey, sorry guys, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if it's not too much to ask, we're wondering if we might be able to maybe have access and make copies of your customers' purchasing records. No, that's not how it goes down at all. They go in there like gangbusters. A typical raid fashion, they go in there with guns drawn during normal business hours, and this is more Gestapo-like intimidation tactics in the new America. And you can bet that this trend is likely to continue and escalate, even though collecting customers' buying records is totally illegal. Well, at least for now anyway. Of course, they're trying to pass laws that will change all that. But for now, they just come up with various excuses to see the data sheets. In this case, the owner was blamed for selling a gun to a guy who may have given it to a convicted felon. They call it making straw sales. And they want to revoke his gun dealer's license without a hearing, I might add. So rest assured, the federal government will try to find excuses to track every purchase of every firearm. And it was just last week where Attorney General Eric Holder told everyone that he was thinking about finding ways to put gun tracking bracelets on everyone's wrist who owns a firearm before they can access their weapon.
Vice President Biden and I had a meeting with a group of technology people and talked about how guns can be made more safe by making them either through fingerprint identification, the gun talks to a bracelet or something that you might wear, how guns can be used only by the person who is lawfully in possession of the weapon.
Wow. That was the United States Attorney General seriously talking about gun tracking bracelets. Others have suggested installing RFID chips inside of every gun. I mean, these people have truly lost their minds.
The Hill newspaper reports for bracelets and biometrics that will render all the other guns illegal. That's the battle plan, and I've told you that forever, and so has Larry Pratt. They're coming. They're coming.
And that was earlier today on the Alex Jones Show. Look, the federal government wants all the purchasing records from the gun shops. They want to track each and every single gun. They want to make gun registration mandatory. And that, my friends, that ultimately leads to gun confiscation.
From my cold, dead hands.
That's right. Come and take it. That means you, Bloomberg. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Just a reminder, after the show, we're going to have a report from Leanne McAdoo. It's about equal pay for women. But right after the break, I'm going to sit down and talk with former Black Panther Party veteran and victim of COINTELPRO. He was a political prisoner for 10-plus years, Larry Pinkney. And we are going to discuss the latest revelations that the Reverend Al Sharpton was once a cocaine dealer who turned into an FBI informant. As many of you know, he's also a chronic master race baiter. So anyway, you don't want to miss it. Al Sharpton, we're going to talk about him with Larry Pinkney up next on InfoWars Nightly News. Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gates, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with the new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
The The ambulance chasing civil rights activist and race baiter Al Sharpton has once again captured headlines across the country. However, this time it's not because of his own doing. In fact, it's the kind of publicity that he probably doesn't really want right now, because it has recently been revealed by the Smoking Gun that the Reverend Al Sharpton was once a cocaine dealer who turned into an FBI informant after federal agents caught him on tape negotiating a coke deal. Rather than face criminal charges, the Reverend panicked and agreed to become a snitch for the FBI. And with us right now to get his take on all this is former political prisoner and veteran of the Black Panther Party, Mr. Larry Pinkney. Larry, thanks for joining us today.
You know what? I'm honored, as always. It's especially, for me, always a very special pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And right off the bat, I want to get to, what do you think of all this? Al Sharpton was once a cocaine dealer. He flipped for the FBI. And I don't know, do you think he still does dirty work for the feds?
I think that once one does that, how can one go back? All right. I mean, the reality is that he should never have flipped, quote unquote, to begin with. And so how could this person be trusted? And, you know, it is particularly disgusting to me, disgusting, period, that this man, Reverend Al, as I understand Barack Obama refers to him as, would engage in such terrible, insidious activities. I mean, first he was engaging in the selling of cocaine, et cetera, or so it is alleged, and strong reason to believe. Secondly, he flips, quote unquote, to serve the interests of the FBI. As a veteran of the Black Panther Party, I want to point out historically that under the auspices of the infamous counterintelligence program, that the FBI actually used many such people, such as Al Sharpton, okay, to destroy the original, I'm talking about the original, not to be confused with the so-called new Black Panther Party, all right, but to destroy, to infiltrate, to destroy, to disrupt, to neutralize, to decapitate the Black Panther Party. So to me, not only first and foremost as a U.S. citizen, but also as a veteran of the party, I find this particularly repugnant.
Well, yeah, and he was hanging out with some pretty shady characters, not to mention some very dangerous wise guys. And the FBI agents made him wear a wire and recorded his conversations with powerful mob bosses and their associates. He also volunteered, Larry, to let the feds bug his phone and even let them infiltrate his friends in the music industry without them knowing it. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for taking down organized crime, but Al Sharpton was a cocaine dealing wannabe thug, you know, and he flipped over to the FBI only to save his own ass. Mm-hmm. And now that the cat is out of the bag, or the rat is out of the bag, I guess you could say, he has taken this position where he is publicly portraying himself as some sort of Elliot Ness. And you're not going to buy that.
No, by no means. You know, the very fact that this guy was running with, that is to say, associating with people such as big-time crime bosses and the so-called syndicate, so-called mob. Oh, by the way, when I say syndicate, let me be clear. I'm not talking about the current syndicate in the White House and Congress. I'm referring to the syndicate on the quote-unquote streets. But anyway, the very fact that he was running with them, that he had an open door to them, really tells us all we need to know. I mean, imagine that. How could he have an opening, as it were, with them if he were not a part of them, working with them? And of course, the feds knew this and took full advantage of this. But let us understand that the feds will also flip. They'll use the mob to work against you. or they'll use you to work against the mob, and it really doesn't matter. And again, I'm talking about that syndicate in the streets, not the one in the White House.
Well, that's right. And Al Sharpton has a long history of despicable behavior. And what about his shameful connections to the Tawana Brawley hoax? Back in the late 1980s, a 15-year-old girl from New York claimed that she was gang-raped by a group of white police officers. She was found in a garbage bag with racial slurs written on her body and covered with feces. The incident obviously shocked the entire nation. People were just outraged. And Al Sharpton, well, he seized the opportunity for the national spotlight and became the young girl's spokesperson. The case quickly took an explosive edge. Racial tensions were extremely high. And then the facts began to surface. The truth began to unfold. And it was later determined by a grand jury that the teenage girl fabricated the entire story to avoid punishment for staying out too late. There was no evidence of her being kidnapped. No forensic evidence of any kind of any sexual attack, but that didn't stop Al Sharpton from assisting in perpetrating this horrific hoax. What are your thoughts on the Tawana Brawley case?
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, obviously it's a continuation of Al Sharpton's modus operandi. I mean, this is what this guy does. That's why he's so close to the Obama administration. He's an opportunist. He will use, and I say historically, this is really nothing new. I was not surprised when information documents and files began to surface that Al Sharpton was and may very well still be an informant slash provocateur. Because, by the way, being an informant doesn't just mean giving information. It means taking people into your confidence and them taking you into their confidence and you using that. That's provocateur action. Okay. So having made that statement, I wasn't in the least bit surprised, angered, of course, but not surprised. And as far as the Brawley case that you were just mentioning, of course, Sharpton and others take full advantage of that to divide and to keep black, white, brown, red, and yellow people in this country divided, controlled, manipulated, and in fear of each other. And he still does the same thing today. What else is new?
That's true. And back in the Tawana Brawley case, I mean, Sharpton knew that there was an incredible amount of mistrust in the black community about winning justice from legal institutions. So he preyed upon their emotions for personal gain. And it didn't matter that an innocent man might have gone to prison for kidnapping and gang raping a teenager. He wanted a race war. And by making up this horrific story, it really undermines every young woman who's ever been brutally raped. It undermines everyone who's been victimized by racism. You know, but this is the kind of guy, it seems like that this kind of behavior is now rewarded nowadays, because now look where he's at. He's got his own show on MSNBC, he's got his own talk show, he's got a best-selling book, and he's hanging out with Obama in the Oval Office.
Well, to me, this is COINTELPRO all over again, all right? I keep saying to people, for years now I've been saying that the counterintelligence program never went away. Here's an example of how operatives, quote-unquote operatives, work in such a program, all right, to undermine, it actually undermines the security of our nation, of our people. Because when I say our people, I mean everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, our people, okay? It undermines their security, our security, because it plays us off against each other. And then you have blood-sucking opportunists, such as Sharpton, and he's not the only one, folks. A lot of people out there just like him. But as you said, look how he's rewarded. This guy has been rewarded big time, and on top of that is shown as being, quote, a leader. He's a misleader.
Well, you're right. And I tell you what I'm getting tired of, and that is, like, the Fox News Network, for example. Let's not let them off the hook either, because I don't know how many times I've heard Bill O'Reilly, for example, ask his listeners, where is the black leadership right now? as if Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson are the only black leadership that's available. That is an illusion. You and I both know, Larry, that there is plenty of good, reputable black people out there that are good leaders. But see, this is the thing with MSNBC, the entire mainstream news media, as well as the Obama administration, they want us to think that there's only these, you know, that these are the only leaders that are available. They want to divide us, not unite us.
Right. That's right. That's right. And I'm glad you honed in on that, Darren, because the fact is whether it's Fox News, whether it's NBC, MSNBC, PBS, it doesn't matter. The fact is they have an agenda, and they feed on each other at the expense of we ordinary everyday people of all colors. They feed on each other. As I like to say, they feed from the same trough. So we have to be careful not to be sucked in either way, so-called right wing, so-called left wing. No, we're not birds. We don't have wings. Let's use our minds. Or as my Chicano brothers and sisters would say, use your cabeza, use your head.
That's right. Hey, I want to get your comments. Al Sharpton is the president and CEO of the National Action Network. Last week, Eric Holder was invited to complain about his treatment as attorney general. Let's take a look.
The last 5 years have been defined by significant strides and by lasting reforms, even in the face of unprecedented, unwarranted, ugly, and divisive adversity. If you don't believe that, you look at the way, and forget about me. You look at the way the Attorney General of the United States was treated yesterday by a House committee. Had nothing to do with me. Forget that. What Attorney General has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment?
That's right.
What president has ever had to deal with that kind of treatment?
So, I guess Attorney General Eric Holder thinks we have amnesia or something, because Nixon's Attorney General, he was thrown in jail for the Watergate scandal. What do you think about his accusations?
Well, I think it's another example of race or color baiting. It's an example of, again, keeping people divided and at each other's throats, okay? I mean, what, as Albert Camus said, what better way to enslave a man than to give him the vote? But what good is the vote if you have nothing to vote for? And that's what this system does, this entire system. And this is an example, the clip that you just showed, is an example of how the public is manipulated. And people like Al Sharpton, opportunists, blood-sucking opportunists, are the ones who do it. Of all colors, by the way. But in this case, Sharpton and people like him are known historically for constantly trying to play on our differences rather than our commonalities. Black, white, brown, red, and yellow people have far more in common than we do against one another. In fact, we begin at the point of being human beings. And whatever our problems, and yes, we have plenty of problems in this country, but whatever they are, we need to deal with them as a whole, collectively, as a whole. So this is exactly the opposite of what Sharpton was inviting Eric Holder to do. And the very fact that an attorney general, U.S. attorney general, for crying out loud, would even address something like that, I must say, is beneath the office of the attorney general.
Well, I hear you there. No big surprise that it just happened to be on Al Sharpton's platform there at the National Action Network. Larry Pinkney, thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate you being here.
I thank you. You know I love you all. All my greetings and my strength to the folks at InfoWars. Thank you so much, Darren.
All right, buddy. That's right, folks. It's all about the illusion of choice. You think you have a choice, but actually you do not. For example, here's a chart that the guys in graphics made for me. Did you know that United States, we have 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, over 9,000 radio stations, 1,500 TV stations, and 2,400 publishers. And they are all owned by only six, count them, six corporations. And that, my friends, is the illusion of choice. Just like Al Sharpton representing Black America is an illusion. That's going to do it for tonight's broadcast. The InfoWars Nightly News will return, Lord willing, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, Texas time that is. Until then, have a blessed evening. And we'll see you back right here tomorrow. Good night.
Tune in to PrisonPlanet.tv for an extended broadcast.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. The key is to be aware of this attack and to fight back against it. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs harvested around the planet and then concentrated for maximum potency. I've always believed in nutrition and herbs. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality and other powerful products from InfoWars Life.
Actress Kirsten Dunst recently voiced her opinion for traditional gender roles, and feminists weren't happy about it.
Dunst said to Harper's Bazaar, "I feel like the feminine has been a little undervalued. We all have to get our own jobs and make our own money, but staying at home, nurturing, being the mother, cooking, it's a valuable thing my mom created. And sometimes you need your knight in shining armor. I'm sorry. You need a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. That's why relationships work." Cue feminist backlash. A Jezebel editor even called Kirsten dumb for expressing what makes her happy as a woman.
Now, shouldn't a feminist protect the voices of all women, even those who choose to fill domestic roles? But these so-called pro-women groups only support correct choices, which for them means running after a career rather than raising the future generation. And this is a great time to be a woman. If we choose to climb the ladder of success, we can do that. But it's very anti-woman to suggest that if a female chooses a traditional gender role that she's somehow mentally inferior or that she deserves to be socially stigmatized. Isn't there enough pressure?
If your argument is that it's unreasonable for a woman to want to be a stay-at-home mom since two incomes are needed to survive in this country, well, that's exactly the conundrum of women in the workforce. Even with two workers in the household, people can't make ends meet nowadays. The movement to get women in the workforce wasn't about empowerment. As the late Aaron Russo revealed, the women's liberation movement was hijacked by the elite as a way to break up the family and as a method of revenue generation.
Aaron, what do you think women's liberation was about? And I said, I had pretty conventional thinking about it at that point. I said, I think it's about women having the right to work, getting equal pay with men, just like they won the right to vote, you know? And he started to laugh. I said, you're an idiot. He said, let me tell you what that was about. We, the Rockefellers, funded that. We funded Women's Lib, you know? And we're the ones who got all over the newspapers and television, the Rockefeller Foundation. He says, and you want to know why? He says, there were two primary reasons. And they were, one reason was, we couldn't tax half the population before Women's Lib. And the second reason was, now we get the kids in school at an early age. We can indoctrinate the kids how to think. It breaks up the family. The kids start looking at the state as the family, as the school, as the officials, as their family, not as the parents teaching them.
Anyone can look at the cost of living increase, the rate of divorce, and over-medicated children being raised by the state to see that this plan has largely succeeded at the expense of the family.
By hijacking feminism and making it about defeating men, the establishment has succeeded to a great extent in marrying women to the state.
Feminism is a top-down social movement controlled by the political class. It's routinely used to exploit the female voter base, all while completely ignoring genuine women's rights issues. The Obama administration, like so many administrations before, can say they're for equal pay, but this is all just smoke and mirrors. Female staffers at the White House are paid just 88 cents for every dollar male employees earn.
I still don't understand why you're saying that's evidence of discrimination outside the White House, but the same metric is not evidence of discrimination inside the White House. I mean, it's the same metric.
Well, first of all, again, if you want to compare metrics, we're doing better than the public at large.
Is that the goal? You're doing a little better than the outside?
And top Democrats also pay female employees less than men. According to an analysis of salary figures collected from the Secretary of the Senate, female staffers in Democratic Senate offices were paid just 91 cents for each dollar paid to male staffers. Men received higher average salaries in more than two-thirds of the 43 Senate offices analyzed. Many of the senators with the largest pay disparity between men and women are facing re-election battles in 2014. Considering how important the female vote is to Democrats, it's not a wonder there's this huge equal pay day push. Senator Dick Durbin, who is leading the push by Senate Democrats to pass the Paycheck Fairness Act, pays women on his staff far less than he pays men. Female staffers in Senator Mark Warner's office are paid 72 cents on the dollar compared to male staffers, and it's just 71 cents to the dollar for female employees of Senator Mark Begich.
It's not just about women and their families. It's about building a stronger, more resilient middle class in America that has been under stress and threat now for decades.
Well, she's very passionate for a senator who pays her female employees just 82 cents for every dollar her male staffers earn. And there are numerous other senators up for re-election with a large gender wage gap. The Democratic Party, the White House, they don't actually care about equal pay for women. It's already illegal to discriminate based on gender under the Equal Pay Act of 1963. What they care about is retaining power, being re-elected, and keeping women from seeing their hypocrisy. The problem with this often cited 77 cents gender pay gap stat is that it's based on selective data. A Washington Post fact check piece says the 77 cents number is based on Census Bureau annual wage data that doesn't consider hourly wages versus salaried workers. It doesn't factor teachers who work 9 months out of the year, for example. It doesn't differentiate between education levels or years of experience.
Perpetuating this myth of unequal pay without providing context not only serves to make working women feel victimized, it continues to further divide us.
Could this newly fueled push for the feminist movement really be about Hillary Clinton 2016? When there's no race card to pull and the country can no longer be easily divided along racial lines, will sexism be the new racism? Now, if you're against Obama's policies, you are racist. In 2016, disagreeing with Hillary equates to being anti-woman. And I'm not saying there aren't plenty of racist misogynists out there, but both of these are tools used by the ruling class to conquer and divide. And while the Paycheck Fairness Act might be good politics, with both parties agreeing something needs to be done, passing legislation based on selective data that will result in more civil lawsuits isn't good policy.
To be clear, this isn't about finally granting women equality. By trotting out their Paycheck Fairness Act, Democrats can underscore their Republican war on women meme, and both sides can shift voters' focus onto ancillary issues while avoiding key political problems, like how to get all these people off of welfare. But that's not the point.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.